get to Town Line to go to do my laundry, to get my meals, to get my groceries, to go to work. And I do it all again to come home. My point is that with that much congestion, how will I safely navigate? There are no sidewalks. There are no, there is no way for me to get to the end. And it is the end, the very, very end of the house. So that's all I wanted you to see. It's just one person, not a statistic, not the many, many reports that you have in front of you. Just me.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions? Councillor Jones.
So I think we're hearing loud and clear tonight that the neighborhood has expected this area to be developed. What would you like to see? What would be acceptable if this development had to change? What would you like to see in that spot?
I would like to see something with a safer plan. I'd like to see fewer development, fewer units, and fewer congestions. A car is just a threat, really. And so less things coming at me, I guess.
Thank you for coming forward.
Councillor Anderson.
Thank you for coming forward, Kathy. And it was nice to see the young folks coming forward as well. A number of delegations have mentioned sidewalks. So I don't know if this is maybe not directed to you, but maybe to planning.
Well, right now we're just dealing questions to the delegation, so we'll get to this.
I'll do it to the deli. Would you be more comfortable if there were sidewalks put in to augment the development, proposed development?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions to the delegation? Okay. Please make sure you sign the podium, please, Kathy. Okay, thank you. Any other? Yep, come forward, please, sir.
Hi, I'm Jason Wilshire from 1352 Bel Air Crescent in Oshawa. I'm directly across Town Line. If you look at the line of houses on the west side of Town Line, my house is the gray roof deck. We bought the house 2.5 years ago. I grew up in Oshawa. I knew the areas. We picked this house simply for... We picked this house when we went to look at it. We were right in the heat of the housing market where it was booming. People were paying, every house we seemed to go for seemed to be selling for $40,000 to $80,000 over asking. We got this house under asking because it sat on the market. We were wondering why. Well, when we bought the house, or when we went to go see the house, the first thing we heard when we stepped out the back door into the backyard was Town Line Road. Since then, I've been observing it. What I refer to it to my company, which is the first thing they notice when they step out into my backyard, is the noise level coming off a Town Line. That road turns into a 400 series highway twice a day for 3 hours a day. We overlooked that because of the size of the backyard and the privacy that we had in that backyard and the fact that it's been private for 50 years. This gets built, that marketability is gone because I don't want the house and I was the only one that wanted that house. So, also,
have you thought of moving to Clarington?
Yeah, I kind of thought that when I stepped up here. the other thought that the builder might want to consider, those 9 units that are now going to look into my backyard or the proposed to look into my backyard, you might want to reconsider the marketability of those being so close to Town Line with the noise level that's there.
Okay, any questions to the delegate? Thank you very much, sir. Okay, any other speakers opposed to the or concerned with the application? Come forward, please, sir.
Hi, I'm Nick Sinopoli. I live right near that spot. If you just look at Lawson Road, you'll see half a dozen houses there right now that have monstrous, nice, big backyards. And if they do things like that all over this community, we're not going to have any big backyards anymore. That's just minor. Traffic on Town Line is crazy, but I don't know if we can ever fix that. It's just going to get worse. And you pile 28 houses with two cars per house, there's 56 more cars going out onto Town Line. And I don't think stoplights are going to do that or fix that. I've been there almost 40 years now, and yeah, it's building up. Can we slow that down? I don't have a whole lot more to say about that.
Okay, any questions to the delegate from members of council? Thank you very much, sir. Please sign the podium. Okay. Any other speakers in opposition or concerned with the application? Okay, last chance. All right, any speakers in support of the application? No big rush down to. Okay, would the agent or the applicant wish to speak? Come forward, please.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and members of council. Thank you for being here this evening, and I wanted to thank everyone else for coming here as well. Myself and the applicant. My name is Mark Jacobs. I'm with the Biglieri Group here on behalf of Lindstrath Developments. And as I was saying, I'd just like to thank everyone for coming out. We certainly appreciate you taking your time out of your busy Monday night and coming here and letting us know how you feel about the applications and your thoughts on the existing conditions of the area. It seems like traffic is a huge concern, and I appreciate that very much. I just wanted to clarify a few things as I was listening to Mr. Weller and members of the public speak. Just a clarification on a few items. First off, was just the pond that was mentioned was man-made. So in terms of natural conditions, it wasn't always a pond. There wasn't always a pond there. Depression. It was made it, I can't tell you when, decades ago. It was certainly dry when I walked there the last time in September. Also wanted to point out that we are proposing, our every unit that is being proposed will have two parking spaces in accordance with the municipality of Clarington zoning bylaw. The drawing there doesn't adequately reflect it, but there's one space on the driveway and another that is in a garage. So we do meet the minimum requirements for all the developments. We also meet the minimum requirements for visitor parking of seven spaces, and one of those is permitted to be an accessible space. Something that has also been pointed out, there was concerns with the trees on the east side of the property line, and we are proposing to retain those trees. We were going to look at how, you know, maintaining them, and in order that they were there for the enjoyment of the neighbor to the east. And with green space, it was noted that we are providing a little, there is an outdoor amenity area that's towards in the middle on the south side. The size of that does comply with the municipality of Clarington amenity guidelines of, it's, I believe, 4 square meters per unit. But we are providing the minimum that's provided in the guidelines. As has also been mentioned, that with this development, the Lawson Road will be ultimately, have sidewalks along the frontage of the subject site. It will go all the way from Town Line Road and to the eastern limit of the property line. This would be an enhanced feature for the residents to use as if they're walking to Town Line Road. I'd also imagine on the directly to the north, if should that that lot become redeveloped, I would imagine that municipality would recommend that sidewalks be built on the north side as well. It's also, you know, it's evident from everyone who's come up here and with their concerns with safety and pedestrians and walking that sidewalks are clearly needed. And I mean, we can't, as much as it'd be great if we could provide the sidewalks for the rest of the street, but I think it's something that, you know, should be considered by, I guess, council and the municipality if that's a concern. And with regards to the traffic, I recognize that the safety concerns are there with certainly the left turn movements in and out of Lawson Road. That is something that I'm sure the region of Durham is well aware of, as it is a regional road. And ultimately, when Adelaide is extended through to Charles Road, the Lawson Road intersection will be closed off with a new access to Adelaide Avenue. And we did have a traffic study. It wasn't submitted. We're more than willing to provide it to anyone who wishes to look at it, as it wasn't requested by the region of Durham. However, speaking with our transportation consultant, they have advised me that Adelaide Road would have less traffic than Town Line Road does, just because it would only go to Charles Road. But at that bearing in mind, left turn movements in and out of the future north-south connection to Adelaide, in their opinion, would be much safer and easier to do than the current situation onto Town Line Road. And with regards to noise, like the noise generated from Town Line Road, our noise consultant has looked at that, and they've recommended the units along the western units along Town Line Road all have mandatory air conditioning. That is so that because of the noise levels that currently exist on Town Line Road, that the enjoyment of those residents, the noise would not affect them, as they'd be able to close their windows and turn on the air conditioning. And the remaining units, while it's not mandatory, it is recommended for them, have provisions for air conditioning so that they can as well turn on the air conditioning and close the windows. That's all I have right now. I'm more than willing to listen to any other, answer any questions. And
okay, questions. Councillor Jones.
So I guess one of my questions is around the width of the roads in there. How is the garbage going to be collected? Will that be condos, or will it be?
Is that through the chair, Councillor Jones?
Sorry, through the chair.
Through you, Chair. The road widths are 6.5 meters wide, which are acceptable for a condominium road. Waste collection will be provided by the region of Durham. We've designed the road. It's wide enough for the region's waste vehicles to use the road in terms of width and the turning radii around the corners. It does comply with the region's guidelines for waste vehicles. So they will be waste will be picked up by the region.
So I assume then that there will be enough space for emergency vehicles to go through there as well?
That is correct. It is, the road has been designed to accommodate emergency vehicles. Okay. And any other and further discussions with the road geometry, all that stuff, that will be facilitated through the site plan approval process. And so we are, you know, we will make sure that it is compliant with all requirements for waste and emergency vehicles.
And through the chair, I also am wondering about the traffic study that you spoke of. I would be interested in seeing that, I did read that the region did not request it, but I do have concerns around that. When will Adelaide be extended through? And I was down that road today. It was very difficult to turn left onto Town Line Road there. So I would be curious to see what that traffic study said. And is there anything that could be looked at in that regard?
Through you, Chair. The traffic study does acknowledge the traffic levels. It's currently a level of service C and D, which is within the design standards of Townline Road. Obviously, the proposed development would add additional traffic and turning movements on to Townline Road. It did state that it will not add a lot of additional traffic. I don't have the numbers, but I think it's about 13 trips generated in the morning and 15 trips generated in the evening. But I can forward that to you, Councillor.
That would be great.
Yep.
Probably if you forward it to staff, then they can distribute it, right?
Yes, through you, Mr. Chair. The report was provided to municipal staff. And sorry, through you, Mr. Chair, with regards to the Adelaide extension, it does acknowledge that it's in with the region's 10-year capital project, that it's anticipated for construction in 2025.
Right, and then, so when would you expect to be completed?
Through you, Mr. Chair, I anticipate, it's all relative, obviously, to the approvals process and construction, but I would imagine construction could start within 12 months, depending on the approval process, of course.
So through the chair, there would be, you know, potentially 5 or 6 years there, 7 years possibly, when we would have the same traffic conditions before Adelaide is extended.
Yes, there would be a few years where the existing conditions would remain.
And through the chair, just around the noise, so the air conditioners then, all on that, would there have to be any kind of a noise study, or I'm not sure about what would have to be done around the noise of the air conditioners for that one parcel of land there to the east? Is there any concerns from you in regards to the noise of air conditioners?
Through you, Mr. Chair, the noise study that was prepared does not speak to the volume, the noise volume up produced by the air conditioning units. I would imagine, I would hope there'd be quiet units provided by the developer. But as the ones on the east side they're not mandatory. The provisions for having them will be required, but it could be up to the individual homeowners to add those air conditioning units.
And the last question that I have through the chair is, a lot of the residents made regards to the green space as you did. Would there be any consideration of expanding that parquette to make it a little bit bigger for those residents then, and a little bit more green space? Would that be something that you could take back?
We can certainly, through you, Mr. Chair, we can certainly review that. The accessible parking space that is provided does kind of cut into that space a little bit. I acknowledge that. But we can certainly review the location of the visitor parking spaces as we work through the site plan approval process, which we have not submitted a site plan approval application yet. We wanted to come here and hear from the public and members of council on the proposal, and you know taken what we've heard and put those considerations into any adjustments to the plan as we work towards the site plan approval application.
Thank you.
Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, thank you, sir, for coming this evening. There was a lot of delegations that spoke about, a lot of people understood that there was going to be development there, but from what I gathered from the notes that I made, a lot of people were concerned about the, volume of residents that are going to be in that small space and property there. And I just wondered, with the information that's been gathered tonight, will that be taken back to your developer? Have you got any thoughts on that in regards to maybe one or two units less or whatever?
At this time, you know, right now we're just listening from the public, and we haven't received any comments from staff yet. So, sorry, through you, Mr. Chair, we will take everything as it comes together, and you know, we'll have another put our thoughts together and.
And through the chair, you said there was a traffic management plan in place. Has it been done, or is that to come yet?
Sorry, traffic plan?
Traffic.
Through you, Mr. Chair, yes, a traffic brief was prepared, and it was provided to municipal staff.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Councillor Anderson.
Through the chair, I hopefully I understood this correctly. So there's a proposal for another exit from Lawson Road went on to Adelaide when that's completed? Or
through you, Mr. Chair, yes. When the Adelaide extension is built, it's in the region of Durham's environmental assessment that a north-south connection will be built. If you look at the map, approximately where the L and A in Lawson Road is, it would go from that point north to the Adelaide extension. And then Lawson Road itself will be closed off and turned into a cul-de-sac. And on our site concept, you can almost tell, you can see where we've made that provision for a future cul-de-sac of Lawson Road.
Through the chair, so I believe that would be done because of the traffic studies that were done, and that would make it safer than Town Line Road, than exiting to Town Line Road?
Through you, Mr. Chair, yes, it will be safer as there won't be any turning traffic onto and off of Town Line Road upon the completion of Adelaide and that north-south connection. And part of the reason the region did that was the distance between Lawson Road and Adelaide Avenue at the current moment doesn't actually meet the region standards for stop space for distance between intersections. So it will ultimately become a safer situation than what currently exists once that connection is built to Adelaide.
And through the chair, I have a couple other questions. there are allowances for 7 parking spaces currently?
Through you, Mr. Chair, yes, 7 visitor
parking.
7 for visitors, and one of those being an accessible parking space.
Any chance that could be increased?
At this moment, we do have to look at it, and should any additional visitor parking spaces be provided, it could come at the making lot sizes smaller. But we haven't got to that point yet, and I mean, at this moment, we are providing the minimum that is required by the municipality of Clarington zoning bylaw.
Through the chair, one final question. Would you be open to working with the municipality to extend the sidewalk for all of Lawson Road?
Through you, Mr. Chair, that would be up to the owner to decide. I'm not sure the owner would be able to afford such an expense.
Could you?
Because I would imagine like doing that would also have to look into the road construction.
Would you be able to find that, get that information from the owner?
We can discuss that with the owner when we go back to the table.
Please do. Thank you.
Any other councillors? Okay. Sir, so what's the width of the road that is shown on the diagram, the actual width?
Mr. Chair, are you referring to the private driveway?
Right.
It is currently designed as 6.5 meters wide. A typical, I'll let the municipal engineering staff confirm, but I think typically the pavement surface of a local road is 8.5 meters wide. And so what we're proposing on the private street is 6.5 meters wide. The difference being that there's no parking permitted on the private street as opposed to a local street, which does permit parking.
Okay, and you're counting the garage is parking space?
Through you, Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay. Think that's realistic, or? You haven't seen my garage, obviously, right? Anyway, so do you not anticipate, though, that really if they're, like on a Saturday night, if a couple of people are having house parties, they're gonna be parking on Lawson Road? Is that not the probable outcome? Which is what I think what the residents are concerned about. One of the things they're concerned about.
Mr. Chair, yes, that is a possibility that the 6 visitor spaces that are non-accessible could fill up.
Right. Okay.
And we would hope if it's a Saturday night and people are partying that they are taking public transit, of course, and not driving.
Okay. So the lots that are going to be sort of, I guess you call those dual frontage lots on facing Town Line Road?
Right. Yes.
Okay. So the actual backyard depth will be 10 feet, roughly. Is that correct? Even somewhat roughly 10 feet?
Mr. Chair, the units, I guess the front of the units, so the eastern, the western one's facing Town Line Road. It's about 3.5 meters to the front door from the Town Line Road right-of-way.
So call it 10, 12 feet then, max?
Like sure, yes.
Okay, so...
And then there's also...
So that's a pretty small... That's a pretty small yard.
The front yard is small. There for those dual fronted units above the garage will also be like a private amenity space, kind of like a deck sitting above the garage. It won't be grassed, but the idea is to have.
So say that again. The private amenity space. Where is that?
It would sit above the garage. So the garage itself would have an outdoor deck above it. So for
all, every unit, every 28 of those? Or?
For the 17 dual frontage units, the 11 traditional units on the west side, cool. They will have private backyard spaces, and those are approximately 25 feet deep.
So again, the noise that might come out of that, don't you think that would be a little bit much, given the quiet nature of the neighborhood?
For the rear yards for the traditional units on the west side, the rear yards would be minimum 7.5 meters, so roughly 25 feet, and that's fairly standard.
I'm talking about the ones on the east side, the west side, and the ones in the middle. They're the ones that would have the sort of the deck space over top the garage.
Yes.
I see. Okay. So, and what about the height? Like these are. Would you call these stacked townhouses?
Mr. Chair, no, they are not stacked townhouses. Each unit is, as you see, like an individual unit from the ground up. So each unit is, as proposed, is 3 stories tall.
But it's 3 stories, right? Like it's
correct. And okay. The zoning bylaw permits building heights up to 10 meters. We're requesting with the application a small increase to about 10.75.
I see. Okay. And do you think that's compatible with the neighborhood?
Mr. Chair, as the official plan states that
my question is, do you think that's compatible with the neighborhood? Is the question?
The neighborhood does. I do acknowledge that the neighborhood does have one story, two story dwellings. So these are high. They are higher than the existing dwellings in along Lawson Road.
So where would the actual air conditioning units go on these townhouses? Because one of the things that concerns me is they get sort of put like in inappropriate places where they look kind of funny. So where would they actually go?
Mr. Chair, the location of the air conditioning units have not been determined yet. That could be determined through the building permit process.
Okay, but are they going to go like right next to the door type of thing on the outside? Like there's usually not a place to put it, like a condensing unit, right? So they use those sort of Mitsubishi type of, and they slap them right on the front of the wall. Do you think that'll look very good if that's how it's going to come out?
We will look at, locations within the site, within the buildings, on the exterior of the buildings for placement of air conditioning units. We can work on that through the site plan approval process.
Well, I can just tell you that's something I'll be watching carefully because I don't find them very good looking when, they seem to be looking for a spot to put them, and they just say, oh, let's put it right next to the front door, and, so I'll be watching that carefully. So thank you, sir. I just wonder if you wish to maybe move an amendment to the agenda or to the order of the agenda. Mayor Foster?
Sure, I'll give you a motion to alter the agenda to deal with PSD-018-19.
Okay, seconder, Councillor Jones, all in favor? And that's carried. So we'll deal with the staff report now, and does anybody wish to put it on the floor? Thank you, sir. Mayor Foster?
I'll move that.
Okay, so you're moving that to continue to be processed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Jones. Comments or questions to staff? Mayor Foster?
Thank you, Mr. Seaman. You'll appreciate why I'm asking this question, but the motion that's in front of us now is not approving anything. If I am correct, we are telling you to listen to the public and continue to work with the developer.
Through you, Mr. Chair, that's correct. It's to refer it, to continue to work on the proposal, and then bring it back, and we'll have the consideration of the comments made at this meeting.
Thank you, and Mr. Chair, through you, Mr. Seaman, there were probably four main concerns, density being one, and I suppose my question would be, while we are encouraging more dense development, sometimes developers get stuck between a rock and a hard place, and we do, and you do as well. We're clearly the residents don't want to see as much density here. Will you be talking to the developer about that? And I know it's a challenge for you guys. So can you give me any insight into that?
Through you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Mayor, we'll be taking into account the comments received at the open house. There are considerations that can be looked at in terms of compatibility, overlook, scale at the street, things like that, things that would have the greatest impact on character, and look at areas potentially where greater compatibility could be realized.
All right, thank you for that. And Mr. Chair, through you, and probably best to engineering, we're hearing a lot about road safety. I wonder if it would be possible to get the history from DRP of collisions in that area. And the reason I'm going there is development or not, there seems to be an issue. And I'm wondering if we need to move that forward. That town line at that point is that was identified to go to the region, but we still control town line on our side and Oshawa on the other side. Is that correct? Do you know? Sorry.
Through the chair, the town line is a regional road, so they control all the intersections.
Okay.
So that's why when the pre-con went forward, the region did not require a traffic impact.
Of course. Okay, so there might be a couple of guys around the table that can talk to the region, depending on what we find from DRP. And Mr. Chair, I'm thinking that maybe we need to be looking at the issue of sidewalks again. Thank you.
Councillor Jones?
I would, through the chair, to Director of Planning, are we able to get a copy of the traffic report? Was there any concerns in the traffic? Because obviously that was one of the big concerns tonight from the residents.
Through you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to ask Mr. Pellerin to provide an answer on that one. Thank you.
Through the chair. I did receive a copy of the traffic impact study this afternoon. So I haven't done a full review on it. I will be forwarding it to the region also for their review. It does, what's happening there now is an existing condition that the region, I'm sure, is aware of. I think with the future Adelaide extension moving forward, I know that it's currently in their planning for 2026, but the property acquisition is actually taking place this year. So they are moving forward with that, and with that extension, the elimination of Lawson out to town line alleviates that left turn issue going both in and out of Lawson. So at the time, I don't think right now the region is going to move forward with any improvements.
So I think the question was about getting the traffic, a copy of the traffic report. Do you have that now?
Yes, I have. Through
okay.
the chair, sorry, yes, I do have it, but they do need to make some revisions just from a preliminary review. So I can forward it as is.
Yeah, I think the request is to forward it to members of council.
Certainly.
So. Okay, thank you. Councillor John?
Just one further question through the chair. Just around the size of the roads and the width of the road, can you give us any further information on if that meets what we need to? Is that going to be wide enough? Will it be wide enough for the garbage truck to get through there?
Through
through the chair. The Region of Durham will review the drawings for the compatibility with their requirements for a garbage pickup. As it currently shown now, it's meeting the minimum requirements.
Okay, Councillor Jones. Councillor Ward.
My question is on sidewalks. So is there a plan to put sidewalks in that area sometime soon for the chair?
Through the chair, typically the municipality does not put sidewalks on cul-de-sacs, so there is no budget, there's nothing in the budget right now for sidewalks on Lawson. The development will be putting on, will be installing a sidewalk along their frontage to their easternmost entrance. But other than that, the municipality has no plans to put sidewalk on Lawson.
And then what about sidewalks on Town Line Road?
So there's currently, through the chair, sorry, there's currently sidewalks on Town Line on the west side. There is sidewalk on Town Line on the east side up to Lawson. There is no connection from Lawson to Adelaide. There has been review upon this previously. There, we do not have the property on Town Line to fit the sidewalk in. But now that the region has moved forward with the property acquisition, there is an opportunity for us to revisit that.
Thank you.
Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And through you to Ms. Robinson, Karen. And in regards to the traffic study that's going to be done, I know they're taking consideration this particular piece of property here. But will they take into consideration what's going to happen on the west side of Town Line Road? With all the 243 houses that are going in there and the townhouses and all that. Like this definitely is gonna be a, like the 56 cars that are gonna be going up there. But will that be in the aggregate total of traffic that's gonna be on Town Line Road now?
Through the chair, the preliminary reading that I did this afternoon, it wasn't the development to, on the other side of Town Line was not in considered. So that's one of the comments that probably would come back.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Anderson.
Yeah, through the chair, could planning please explain to us how the proposed opening of Lawson to Adelaide, how is that going to take place and how is that going to be done?
Through the chair. So how, for, I'm not sure of the question, you're asking how Adelaide's going to be extended?
Yeah, and how is Lawson is going to be opened up onto Adelaide, the road?
Okay, so Adelaide is proposed to be extended from Town Line all the way across to Trolls Road. It'll be going, it'll follow where it is now, moving slightly north. So the second house on the north side of Lawson is approximately where the access, the new access from Lawson will go to future Adelaide.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay, any other questions? So the width of these roads for garbage purposes, I thought I heard something about 12 meters. Is that an incorrect number? That one subdivision, for example, in Curtis that has a 12-meter width, I thought that was deemed insufficient. So am I missing something here?
The minimum radius requirement for the garbage truck is 13.
Okay. So does this configuration meet that? If that's the region's requirement, does this meet that?
Currently, as it stands right now, it's meeting the minimum requirements for garbage pickup.
Okay. So... Is there anything, this is to staff, is there anything currently slated for any proposal coming forth for the north east corner of Lawson and Town Line? Are there any applications coming that we're not aware of? Okay. See, the answer is being no. So stacked townhouses, or three-story townhouses, whatever you want to call them, are we going to be looking at whether that's, in fact, compatible with the existing neighborhood? Is that one of the things that the staff's going to be examining and coming up with a recommendation on this? I guess that's to you, Mr. Seaman. Or
I can start this, and maybe you, Carla, if you want to fill in. When you're dealing with compatibility, you look at impact on adjacent, first of all, and so on the street, on the adjacent sort of single detached lower dwellings, looking at ways in which compatibility in terms of could be achieved through things like stepping and other and heights and that sort of thing of buildings could be considered and would be looked at.
Okay, so pointed out by Mayor Foster, we're not the vote that we're going to conduct momentarily. We're not approving anything. We're just sending it back to your department to basically come back with a subsequent report at a subsequent council meeting or planning committee meeting, at which time the matter will go to a vote as to whether to approve it or not. Is that correct?
Through Mr. Chair, that is correct. This is a concerning a report presentation to gather public input. The recommendation is to enable staff to continue working on the proposal and then bring something back with a recommendation at a later date in which issues raised at this meeting would be considered.
Okay, with that, I'll call the question then on continue to process the application. All in favor? Opposed? That's carried. Perhaps a 5 minute break. Councillor Hooper, moved by, seconded by Councillor Jones for a 5 minute break. All in favor? That's carried. Anybody that's here, you could stay on the Lawson Road matter. You could stay for the rest of the meeting, but you may have more productive things to do than to hear the rest of the business. So thank you very much. And so we'll break for 5 minutes. Okay, so we're ready to reconvene. So the next item is item 7.2, which is a public meeting on the draft terms of reference for the North Village Secondary Plan in Newcastle. And so the municipality of Clarington has been requested by the North Village Landowners Group to prepare a secondary plan for lands in Newcastle. A secondary plan is a detailed development framework for a specific area that includes land uses, density and building types, and sustainability features, as well as active transportation. Prior to commencing the preparation of a secondary plan, official plan policies require that council hold a public meeting to consider the terms of reference for the project. The terms of reference outline the process and studies required for the development of the secondary plan. Today, the Planning and Development Committee of Council will only be considering the terms of reference. A decision of the Planning and Development Committee on the terms of reference and to initiate the process does not confer any development approvals. The staff report recommends proceeding with the secondary plan. So the public meeting will proceed in the following manner. Scott Waterhouse of CanDevCon will make an introductory presentation on the terms of reference. And then residents and other members of the public will be invited one by one to offer any comments. Before presenting, please state your name. And following your presentation, please enter your name and mailing address, including postal code, on the interested parties list located on the podium. If you wish to be notified of the next report on this matter, please contact the Planning Services Department. So is, come forward please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of Committee and Council. My name is Scott Waterhouse with CanDevCon Limited, 1600 Champlain Avenue in Whitby. I'm here on behalf of the North Village Landowners Group, a group of landowners in the North Village neighborhood of Newcastle. So you are here this evening to consider draft terms of reference for the North Village Secondary Plan area to initiate the secondary plan process. North Village Landowners Group represents the majority of the landownership in the secondary plan area. And as per Clarington official plan policies, the landowners group has prepared a secondary plan draft terms of reference and has submitted this to the municipality as the first step in requesting the municipality to commence preparation of a secondary plan for the North Village secondary plan area. North Village area is one of the areas planned for future urban development in the Clarington official plan, which requires the preparation of a secondary plan prior to the consideration of development applications. A similar secondary plan process is well underway for other areas of Clarington, including Southeast Curtis and the Brookhill and Soper Hills neighborhoods in Bowmanville. So firstly, I'd just like to briefly describe the area in question. Bear with me, Mr. Chair, I'm not the best at... There we go. So the North Village neighborhood is located within the Newcastle urban boundary and is located north of the CP rail line, generally bounded by Highway 35-115 to the west, Concession 3 to the north, and Arthur Street to the east, generally as highlighted in the red shaded area on the map up on the screen. This area can be generally described as undeveloped with a mix of agricultural lands and some commercial and residential properties. Now, the North Village neighborhood is more accurately shown on this image on the screen and can be categorized generally in three separate areas. The North Village secondary plan area is indicated in red and is generally bounded by Highway 35-115, Concession Road 3, and Arthur Street. The area in yellow is an additional study area, which is discussed in the staff report, which is not part of the secondary plan but would be included in the background technical studies. And to provide additional context, the area in blue that you see on the screen represents lands that, while not yet developed, are approved for residential development and are subject to a council-adopted North Village neighborhood plan and two draft-approved plans of subdivision. And the North Village neighborhood plan is generally shown on this image here just to provide additional context as approved by council back in 2012. So next, I would just like to briefly discuss the key elements of the draft terms of reference and the anticipated secondary plan process. As discussed in the staff report, the draft terms of reference prepared by the landowners group and the resulting secondary plan will address five guiding principles and priorities from the Clarington official plan, including sustainability and climate change, urban design, affordable housing, and community engagement. And the supporting technical studies would cover matters related to land use planning, natural heritage, servicing, transportation, agricultural impacts, commercial analysis, archaeological, cultural heritage, and sustainability. And the proposed secondary plan work program can be categorized into four phases as proposed. Phase one would include initial public input and technical analysis, including preparation of the technical background studies. Phase two would include developing urban design and sustainability principles, evaluation criteria, and review of alternate land use plans. Phase three would produce a preferred land use plan for the secondary plan area. And then phase four, the production would be a final draft secondary plan and zoning bylaw. It is worth noting, I think, that this four-phase process would be led by a technical steering committee consisting of the lead consultant engaged by the municipality, municipal and regional staff, provincial Ministry of Transportation staff, representatives from the Conservation Authority, and representatives from the landowners group. And also important, the terms of reference includes not only opportunity, but requirements for public engagement at critical points in the process.
Sir, Mr. Waterhouse, can you either move slightly, get that microphone right dead?
Sorry.
There you go.
Thank you, Mr.
Okay.
Chair. The draft terms of reference includes not only opportunity, but requirements for public engagement at critical points in the process. And the first PIC would occur at the outset of the process in stage one, which is the initial public input and technical analysis stage, and really in effect to introduce the project to the public and to relevant stakeholders. So Mr. Chair, on behalf of the North Village Landowners Group, I'll conclude my remarks. We are in support of the recommendations in the staff report and look forward to working with staff on the secondary plan for North Village. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you. Are there any members of the public that wish to offer any comment on the draft terms of reference? Please come forward. Okay, seeing none. So that concludes that concludes the public meeting. So our first delegate is Beth Mazeros regarding diversified on-farm uses. Welcome, Ms. Mazeros.
Thank you. Good evening, Chairman Neal, Mayor Foster, committee members, and fellow citizens. I am Beth Mazaros, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Cowanville and local resident group. Some up top, too. Who continue to learn and work alongside the municipality of Clarington and the elected officials to create regulatory governance for on-farm diversified uses. Since the province established the innovation for on-farm diversified uses to financially supplement the bona fide farmers to stay on the farm, as well as preserving Ontario's agricultural lands, municipalities have been trying to navigate best practices through stringent application, scrutiny, zoning bylaws, amendments, permits. How best to ensure application is authentic, how best to regulate, and how best to carry over the intent of the province to assist the farmer to be able to stay on the land. The intent of the PPS is to be sure agriculture remains a principal use in prime agricultural areas. Prime agricultural areas are protected for future generations. Normal farm practices to continue unhindered. Agricultural and rural character and heritage are maintained as much as possible. Our interpretation is on-farm diversified uses is meant to financially assist a bona fide farmer and not meant for a business family to purchase rural agricultural property for the pursuit of an ongoing commercial venture through the back gate of venues, wedding, family celebrations, and special events. Keeping these objectives in mind, and after much discussion and consultation, we bring to you our conclusions and requests. On-farm diversified uses are meant to be a secondary business. It is a serious flaw to class special event venues indefinitely under the protective farm class umbrella. We recommend a point at which a special event venue must move from the shelter of the farm class assessment into the commercial business class assessment. Three suggestions. Keep the two enterprises separate immediately. When the number of people attending moves beyond a predetermined benchmark, establish a set dollar for the sole income of special events, and once exceeded, becomes a commercial business. Clarington municipal staff to research and network with other municipalities to gain insight on how best to support farmers through on-farm diversified uses, management, regulate, enforcement. Municipalities must liaise with all the regulatory bodies, actively seeking their assistance when considering on-farm diversified uses. Agritourism to ensure the correct interpretation and intent. Throughout the OMB, we witnessed the confusion created by the lack of consistent language with measurable criteria and enforceable regulations. On March 19th, Marianne Musler and I took the time to go to a day session titled Navigating On-Farm Value Added. We had hoped to see someone from Clarington's planning department. Throughout the OMB, we witnessed the confusion created by the lack of consistent language with measurable criteria and enforceable regulations. It is essential the definition of words such as season and seasonal, special and accessory be developed to guarantee clear, consistent limits and understanding within all policies and procedures governing on-farm diversified uses and agritourism. Applications to be free of any fraudulent or misleading statements, to be returned for correction prior to forwarding to council. All parts of the justification report and application must use current data when submitting an application. Outdated material will be viewed as misleading. All applications for on-farm diversified uses to be managed and regulated by the purchase of municipal permits and licenses for each event, with administration costs to be absorbed by the applicant, not by the taxpayer. Permits and licenses will allow the municipality to manage, regulate, and enforce these events and ensure these responsibilities do not fall on local citizens and neighbors. As property ownership changes, the new owner must reapply on the merits and criteria at that time. Property designation of farming to remain static. Using the PPS and developing standalone municipal special event enforceable regulatory language, permits and license will assist the bona fide farmer as intended and place the responsibility of managing and enforcing regulations squarely on the municipality. This is not a case where grandfathering in can be considered, including not to exceed 2% of the total area of the farm parcel in the draft zoning bylaws 14.6.1 is in compliance with the PPS. It is vital for the municipality to know what is to be included and excluded within the 2%. Parking, pasture, driveways, septic, building, portion, etc. Municipalities are given permission to be more restrictive than the PPS. However, it is not permissible for municipalities to be more lenient. Maintaining consistency by using the same mathematic equation of 2% and what is included will, for every application, will ensure an equitable outcome for all. Established neighboring property lines, human buffer zones need to be developed in conjunction with the minimum distance separation to ensure humans are recognized, along with animals in the detrimental impact equation. In conclusion, as rural residents and the municipal staff and council, we believe we are in support of preserving agricultural lands, assisting the bona fide farmer, and growing the vitality of our communities through new and creative ways. This is new, and with new, there must follow new governance. Moving beyond citizen complaint, enforcement, on-farm diversified uses, special event standalones, bylaws regulated by the municipality. And it's admirable to help a bona fide farmer. It's not admirable to change the rural character. Thank you.
Okay, questions to the delegate? Councillor Trail.
Actually, I think Councillor Zord had her hand up first, so I'll go after.
Okay, Councillor Zord, do you want to go ahead?
Thank you, Beth, and the community for coming forward. Do you have information on other jurisdictions that use the permit and licensing process to regulate on-farm diversified uses?
Not at this time that we've found, no.
Okay.
Thank you. And through the chair, so just to confirm that we're a motion to come forward this evening that asks staff by working in consultation with all stakeholders on developing a permitting scheme. This would be, first of all, would this be agreeable to you and would you be willing to participate among your fellow neighbors and residents in the creation of such a bylaw or permit?
Yes, we would.
Secondly, when you are seeking here is a permitting scheme to regulate on-farm diversified uses. Is this specific to things like wedding and event venues or all on-farm diversified uses?
I think it'd be more specific to wedding and event venues. Like I said, when Marianne and I went to the day that we went to, there was a panel of four farm diversified use businesses, and all of them we would have been very acceptable to. There was like Willow Tree, something like a Stroud's or Pingles. There was a cheese factory in Sunderland that was being developed. All of those things are very farm-related, whereas I've yet to figure out what a wedding has to do with agriculture or a family celebration. Something that's ongoing, no, I don't.
Okay. So through the chair, thank you. Without getting into a debate over, you know, what uses are permitted or not, we're going to be looking at simply regulating businesses who are interested, or homeowners, rural property owners, who are interested in hosting special events in rural property. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other councillors with questions? Thank you very much, Ms. Massaros.
Motion to amend the rules to deal with this delegate.
I don't think you need to suspend the rules. No, you can move a motion.
Okay, so this is moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Zord, that staff, working in consultation with all stakeholders, including the citizens of Morgan's Road as well as other local businesses, report back by the June 10th general government meeting.